live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful and glad to have this day. And these are the times in which God's decided we will live. Just tempting in the fine humor in the news this morning is a little bit of a challenge. There is a guy from Florida who kidnapped a scientist so that scientist could make his dog immortal. I don't know. They don't give the end of the story, though. I mean, there's the kidnapping, and he took, but they don't let us know. Did it work? Do you know why Florida ends up in all those news stories? It's because they have the most transparent laws in relation to arrest. That's how you get all the Florida man stories. Because, come on. You know there's people in Portland who've kidnapped scientists to make their dogs immortal. If you ever wondered, if you're ever sitting around wondering, hey, you know, what would I do when, if God forbid, it ever happened that tyranny was being installed in North America, what would I do? Well, you got a trial run of that this summer from the bottom up. Now, top down, The New York Times.
Maybe to execute legislators, take them hostage. No one can accuse any Black Lives Matter or even Antifa protesters of trying to do that last year.
Rip Trump out of that office right over there. Pull him out that... No, we ain't about waiting for the next election. We're about to go get that mother...
Do not film this.
He asked to stop filming.
Okay.
So stop filming.
Okay.
Beautiful sounds of the summer of love. I like that last one. It's not punching somebody if you're doing it as counter-violence. This is one of the lessons of Antifa. If you completely jack a guy up and sucker punch him, but you do it in as counter-violence against his silence, that's not violence. Because in the face of the most racist country in history, in the most racist city, apparently, Seattle. In fact, Seattle is the most racist city in America. I'll make that case all day long. If you sucker punch a dude because the dude's silent, then that's not violence. That's counter-violence because it says right in the name, Antifa. We're the anti-fascists. During the summer of love, we watched the up. Demands that everybody parrot the same message. We watched it in neighborhoods. We watched it against cops. And it was very clear to a lot of businesses when the Antifa stand takeover occurred that you're not going to speak out against this if you want your life savings to survive. And those of us who lived through that stuff in Seattle and watched that stuff happen in Seattle, we also know that there are business owners in Seattle who pretend to be wokeaholics because it's the only means of survival. This is happening in the schools. There are children who are choosing to survive by joining intersectional groups because they're well aware of the fact that their own teachers, through the curriculum that's being shoved into the schools, the Black Lives Matter Incorporated curriculum, will bully them if they don't join an intersectional group, if they don't mimic the party line. That's part of the poison of this you know, so-called curriculum being shoved into the schools. There's the brainwashing aspect to it, to hate yourself and hate your family and hate your country. Then there's just the plain bullying aspect of this. Kids are not stupid. When they see that the entire teaching staff and all the posters on the walls and all the words in the books make it very clear there's a good side and there's a bad side. And if you're on the good side, then you are absolutely full woke or you are meat. You're just, that's what you are. You're a meal being ready to get eaten. And kids will observe that dynamic super quick. So that's in the schools. The New York Times has decided to dispense with any and all pretense of being a newspaper. News. Who, what, where, when, why. Ted Cruz got a little bit ahead of this. Ted Cruz may be the only Republican who's actually speaking out about this stuff in the way I would like. Let me give you a comparison between an activist and a corporatist. Here's the voice of a corporatist.
New reporting suggests the Biden administration plans to turn tail and abandon the fight in Afghanistan. Precipitously withdrawing U.S. forces from Afghanistan is a grave mistake.
So tactically speaking, precipitously withdrawing, announcing it, all those things are probably true. And I tire of Afghanistan. But McConnell steps to the mic to get back into the great shirts versus skins game. Of how long do we stay in Afghanistan? How long do our soldiers have to stay over there? Same thing. They're on their comfort level when it gets to
infrastructure bills. It's a wrong step.
They're comfortable there. Ted Cruz is actually calling out this culture war where the bottom up throughout the summer, the bottom up, is being met in the middle by the top down by the New York Times.
This last month has seen a significant and indeed a dramatic change in our country, and not a change for the good. This past month, we have seen the rise of the woke corporation. We have seen the rise of big business enforcing a woke standard. It's always been the case that big business wants to get in bed with big government. It's always been the case that big business seeks handouts, seeks subsidies, seeks special benefits at the expense of the little guy, at the expense of the small business. But in the past month, these woke corporations have decided to become the political enforcer for Democrats in Washington. They've made the decision to get in bed, even at the price of spreading disinformation.
And they have. And now there's this. The New York Times has published a piece that is a threat to businesses not getting woke. This is the piece from the New York Times. The CEOs who didn't sign a big defense of voting rights. Headline, the lead. Hundreds of leaders and companies signed a letter opposing strict limits. They did not. This is a message. There are people in business who flat panic when the New York Times contacts them. It becomes a panic fest. So if you've ever wondered what it would be like to watch a complete and attempted takeover of your country, you're watching it. We're living in it. We're doing what we're doing during this period of time. I hope that we're all realizing our jobs are already at risk. Our careers are already at risk. It's necessary that we speak out on this. Everywhere. Employees of the woke businesses must speak out or you will lose your country. In a nation founded via debate, perhaps one of the greatest debates in history, founded with documents that can be changed through a legal methodology, hence the doing away with of the perversion of slavery, which did require a war. Hence doing away with the perversion that black people and women not have the vote. All these things done, with the exception of the Civil War, through legal processes. We've been talking about the fact that the technocrats don't like legal processes. They don't like representative democracy. They don't like it because it's slow, because they know what must be done. But next week on this program, I'm going to interview a couple of dissidents. I chatted yesterday with a woman from Canada. I can't wait to have her on next week. Her name is Kate Wand. She's been following what's going on to the north, and she says that they are just a little bit ahead of us in seeking. She said this. I didn't ask this question. She said Canada is seeking the China model. This thought that we've been sharing on the show is being thought by other people. It's being spoken by other people. That what we're observing is a chasing of the China model. This is state media activity from the New York Times. This is an arm, an enforcer of the left. We even have a figurehead president to round this all out. So let's look further into what we're experiencing in North America. To the north, I had a conversation with Kate Wand yesterday. You can follow her at very-opinionated.com. We're going to have her on the program next week. And she's a videographer and produces great work, really concentrating on the loss of liberties in Canada and really related to the COVID flu. Just really be presented to you this way. They took a pastor of a church and they put him in maximum security prison. And then they put him in solitary confinement within a maximum security prison because he wouldn't stop preaching. At Grace Life Church, Pastor James Coates wouldn't stop preaching. And he's put in a maximum security prison and then in solitary confinement. Has this made any of the Mockingbird media? Has this been aired or written about in any of the Mockingbird media? And I would just say to members of the press who still consider themselves reporters, if you write about human rights and you, for instance, the Seattle Media 5, you guys go constantly nuts. A racist flyer left on a mailbox in South Tacoma has police worried about racism and organized white supremacist militias, up to 10 million members in the South Tacoma area. You have the sheriff in Pierce County, Ed Troyer, a known actor of good faith in the law enforcement community for decades, sees a man, or doesn't know it's a man. He couldn't see the person in the car at 2 o'clock in the morning driving up rural driveways back and forth with his headlights off. And Ed, a cop, said, wow, that's weird. I'm going to check that out. It turns out that the guy who was driving the car was a black man doing his job, delivering newspapers. That's a human rights abomination. You have the Tacoma News Tribune run a cartoon with Ed Troyer dressed up as a KKK member in a robe. And to our north in Canada, a pastor is imprisoned in maximum security and then in solitary confinement. And this doesn't make a blip. It's on us. We are the only ones we can count on. Well, it's nice to see Ted Cruz speaking about this. There are a lot of initiatives to talk about, bills to talk about. There's the Supreme Court and the Democrats' decision to push a bill to completely and forever erase the Supreme Court as a deliberative body. They want to blow the court up in size. They want to make it impossible for Republicans and put enough justices on that body to have any form of judicial oversight. That's a very serious thing, and we can talk all day long about that, and we must talk all day long about that, because the Democrats are attempting to build a permanent victory, and we are the only ones. Let me give you another example. This is from our friend Josh Fried. Josh is the King County Republican Party chair. He's also a man fighting for election integrity in the face of great opposition from the party bosses. Wait, you can't. You're suggesting that the elections are not. How can you? He's fighting for methods in Washington state to secure our elections, and there's opposition to this. So Josh Fried points out that churches in Seattle, well, I will say this, so-called churches in Seattle, the same ones that required masks are now going to require injection of mRNA gene therapies. Just a reminder. We're not a religious show. I'm not qualified to preach. I can share my testimony, but I'm too broken to preach. I need too much redemption to preach. I seem to remember that Christ Jesus embraced lepers. I seem to remember that he said he had come, that physicians do not heal the healthy, they heal the sick. So you have churches, so-called churches in Seattle, who are also becoming arms of the government. Now, first of all, Seattle is a separate country. It's a lost city. It cannot come back from leftism until the crash. It can't. You are on your own in Seattle. That's blatantly true to anyone who's from Seattle. The cops can't help you. They're not allowed to help you. They can't even take drug camps out from the school grounds. There is a meeting. Safe Seattle has this picture of this meeting of the school officials and some people from the city. And they're taking a meeting with people who are shooting up drugs, living in an armed camp, armed with baseball bats. And one of their favorite things is machetes. There's been at least one overdose. Students had to watch a naked man who overdosed and may have died taken out of the camp. And they're having a discussion. Hey, well, what can we do for you? That's typical Seattle. But now you have the churches falling over. And there's plenty of churches that are no longer churches. They're just leftism. Well, masquerading as churches. The Weather Channel is promoting an article that you not forget your traveling papers. The Weather Channel is promoting the COVID vaccines, which aren't even really vaccines. Oh, we'll get into that news. CBS News let a little bit of reality slip past some of their editors around the injections. Please don't think for a second that J&J, Johnson & Johnson, is the only COVID injection with blood clot problems. It's not. Pfizer's injection, according to the analysis done by Alex Berenson and, in fact, the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail analyzed this. The Pfizer injection is linked to more blood clots than AstraZeneca's. That's not been banned. There's a very similar relationship between AstraZeneca, Pfizer, and the J&J injections. And never forget this. Never forget this. Treatments for COVID-19 were derided and banned by the same exact media channels who are threatening CEOs that don't stand woke. top down, bottom up. We, my friends, are the ones. We are the ones who will speak out. Because if we don't, no one will. We'll talk more about this as we continue. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. I've had weird symptoms this morning. Weird. I've never felt this way before. Ever, you know that? I used to think that ad for restless leg syndrome. Do you remember that ad? Do you suffer restless leg syndrome? I used to hear it during Rush's show. I thought, oh, that's hilarious. It's one of those parodies, a restless leg syndrome. And apparently, that's a real thing. I'm having restless back of my entire body syndrome. It's really weird. It's like I was telling Tark. It's like somehow my brainstem is anxious. So after I get done with the show, yes, I will be. I will be consulting my doctor, Dr. Lee Yardley. So if I drop dead during the show, know that I have loved being with you. And that is, it was a lifelong dream to do talk radio. The first time I ever expressed the goal of being a talk show host was in high school. It was a couple days before we graduated, and they had this big poster that we were supposed to write on. And my three goals were to be talk show host, captain of industry, and a dictator of a third world country. And I was joking about, obviously, dictator's a strong word. I mean, El Capitan, maybe. But that was really my way of saying I wanted to work in politics, but I was afraid to say I wanted to work in politics because it, I don't know, just didn't match my thinking of myself. And so if I do drop dead during the show from a brain aneurysm, know that I have achieved all those things. I also didn't mean captain of industry. I mean, I wanted to work in business and perhaps big business. So those dreams have been fulfilled. So if God takes me home, just hope I go home. Just so if you hear that, there's a possibility I've died.
Todd, you scared me.
No, it's good.
Scared me.
Yeah, Tark, if I die, just take over the show. You've got the rundown. Just hide your true opinions. I don't want the audience to know.
They'll never know.
Okay, good. Good. There is a full-on attack against one personality in media. And it's a full-on attack against one of the most effective questioners of the party. Ask yourself why Tucker Carlson is the target. Because the Washington Post, which is owned by Jeff Bezos, has written recently 11 articles attacking Tucker Carlson. He's one dude. So why are they going after Tucker? Where did Tucker, which tripwire did he step on? They've tried to go after Hannity on Fox News. That didn't work. Hannity fought back. Tucker is fighting back. But the concentration of people going after Tucker Carlson with charges like this, which are being mimicked across the mockingbirds. Now, listen to Tucker Carlson. Apparently, he's apparently, according to the little people at CNN, this is going to shock you. Hold on. And listen, brace yourself. Tucker Carlson's apparently a white supremacist. We didn't know, but apparently they've figured him out. Right.
Tucker Carlson has a history of sanitizing stereotypes and of spreading this kind of poison. But what he did on Thursday night really was indeed, as you put it, a new low. The great replacement theory, as it's known, is this toxic idea that there are a cabal of Jews plotting to overrun the country with immigrants, Muslims, black people, etc., and commit what they call white genocide. It is literally, Brian, a staple of white supremacist and extremist ideology. And so when Tucker Carlson literally introduces it to his 4.5 million viewers, he's serving as a gateway to one of the most damaging and dangerous conspiracy theories out there. And I think, as you pointed out, the question is really from Fox management to the Fox board. to Fox shareholders, how can they countenance their network being used to mainstream the most violent and toxic ideas?
Tucker Carlson explained the theory. He didn't promote it. He didn't espouse it. He explained it. This is coming from a network and a side that with every breath they breathe says white people are evil because white people are white. Every breath they breathe. This is coming from a party and a network that is so desperate for white supremacy in this country to be a thing beyond the basement dwelling, thumb sucking little kids in adult bodies who practice it. The small group of people, they're trying to breathe life into it. They are practicing the thing that is most likely to lead to broad scale violence, which is the targeting of one race of people openly because of the color of skin. The one element you, well, it's not the one element, but an element about yourself you would have to go to great lengths to change. I was going to say you can't, but then I do know that you can. Tucker Carlson explained a theory. The left is pushing scapegoating. So for us, on our side, I can't paint the picture any more clearly than this. Whenever this trash comes up in your workplace, because you are going to be drawn into a training, they are going to bring you into a room. You are going to have to listen to critical race theory stuff. With the New York Times saying, here's the CEOs who didn't sign on to make vote fraud easier. They're terrible people. Do you have a plan for this? My plan is this. If I'm drawn into one of these meetings, I will raise my hand and say, yes, I do have a question. Am I supposed to pretend to be a racist? This stuff has to be mocked. So we talk about bills and we talk about the Supreme Court and we talk about these things. We must be all over these things. But while the culture is being perverted and shifted in this way, and we don't speak about this with every breath we have, the bills won't matter. The laws won't matter because it will become lawless very, very quickly. I remember 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, we talked about the problems in Seattle. And I would say Detroit didn't become Detroit overnight. Detroit used to be the jewel of the Great Lakes. It used to have the biggest dancing halls and the biggest nightlife. And they had, you can look back to articles in Life magazine talking about the cuisine of Detroit, the great city of Detroit, the great lifestyles and the beaches and the nightlife and the beautiful homes. And those homes are gone. Do you know there's entire sections of Detroit that were razed to the ground, knocked down? They were selling houses for a buck. The back broke. With every breath of our being, we need to say, you are selling racism, CNN, critical race theory, teachers. You will not teach my children racism. And then we can mock it and have fun. Sure, just mock it this way. If you're in one of these meetings and you're asked to now talk about your white privilege, say, oh, you know what? I did a lot of self-examination during this. Like me, Todd Herman, I'd say, you know what? I did a lot of self-examination during this. I'm actually a black woman. So I'm down. Y'all white people, you're the problem, not me. Mock it. It can be fun. Interesting question here on Twitter from a long-time listener and supporter of the program, Sarah Shiraz. Are we entering a time where anyone that does not have a Che Guevara tattoo on their shoulder will be accused of being a white supremacist far right? Yes. Yeah, we are. I don't know the sex of Sarah Shiraz. 7 years together on Twitter, and I don't know. AFSCME. Council 28. Oh, Washington Federation of State Employees, Council 28. Should the Seattle Foundation support the white supremacist far-right org Freedom Foundation? No! Yeah, you know what's white supremacy? You know what's just stinking white supremacy? Advocating to have people be able to not be forced to give their paycheck money to labor unions. That's white supremacy. Do you remember what was his name? Andy, oh my gosh. The guy who used to run the SEIU. He retired with like a $69 million golden parachute. And the SEIU earned money off of the backs of hotel maids and people in, you know, the cleaning services. And those are honorable jobs. Never deride those jobs, but you don't get to resign. You know, I guess you do get to retire with that much money if you're the SEIU. By the way, he was one of the chief early proponents of the China model. When I moved to Washington, D.C., with my family, I went there alone for the first, like, 3 months. 3 months. I was there alone. And that was really hard because my little girl was, you know, 4 years old or something. And we found lots of ways to connect with one another. I actually really think that was a helpful time. I would write her notes, handwritten, and then I would draw pictures. One thing I drew was a picture of my hand with my wedding ring on, and then I cut it up into a puzzle. Because I said in the letter, a P.S., I really miss holding something. And she put that puzzle together, and it was my hand with my wedding ring. And she guessed during one of our phone calls, is it that you miss holding my hand? I do. When we moved to D.C., there was a restaurant that was very exotic. It was run by a Pakistani family. And I don't believe I'd ever been in a Pakistani restaurant before. I've had Libyan food and Greek food, and I don't believe I'd ever been in a Pakistani establishment. And the ways they cooked their bread was so interesting, and the music was so interesting, and the language was so different and so separate, and the spices were so unique, and I just felt, because we were, there were some white people who went there, but it's D.C., so they want to go to the places that are really fancy. Because that's the thing you do in D.C. And so we're kind of one of the few white families that went in on a regular basis. And like the third or fourth time, they greeted us as, hey, how you guys doing? You want your regular? They had, you know, these thick accents. You want your regular? How is the little one? Did you start school? You were going to go to the school. Did you start? And my daughter would visit. Oh, yeah, I started school. Like the seventh, eighth, ninth time. And I started to recognize people's names and other diners. And I forgot that the music was unique. And I forgot that I was in a Pakistani restaurant. I was just in our local restaurant. We used to call it the place with the good bread. It's really interesting. It was really a white supremacist thing to do, wasn't it? To go in and become enculturated together. And the gentleman who ran the place used to ask me questions about Seattle. And he would see pictures of the mountains and the sky, and he'd see pictures of the ocean. And so interested, does it all look that way? How often is there snow? And I'd ask him about the snow in Pakistan, and oh, there's parts of Pakistan where the snow never leaves. And I'd say, oh, the same. And the big lie within the big lie is that the way to solve the lingering portions of racism in America is to worsen it. There's this pushback. In fact, my pastor was telling me about this experiment he used to do with people. He would take a broomstick and hold it and put it up in front of another person, and they would grab the broomstick sort of instinctively, and then he would pull the broomstick away and they would resist, and then he'd push and they would resist. And then he would come alongside them and they'd hold the broomstick together and they'd walk. Critical race theory, telling people you're racist, you're racist, you're racist, you're racist, you're racist, you're racist because you're white, because you're white, because you're white, because you're white, because you're white. There's going to be a number of people who just let go of the stick. And okay, fine, I'll give in. I'll be this. There's a whole bunch of other people who are going to push back. Some of us rhetorically, some of us peacefully, some of us legally. What the side that's pushing this is counting on are the ones who don't do it peacefully. That's what they're seeking. Come back on the Todd Herman Show.